Let us pray. Spirit of God, lead us. Light of the truth in these tales we retell. Spirit, lead us as we become the next chapter of our lives after hearing your word. May we open ourselves to the seeds of wisdom that lies dormant in the reading of your word. And may our minds be fertile soil in which it may grow strong and true. For we ask this in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Dear friends, today is Remembrance Sunday. And as we think about the significance of this particular event, it is good for us also to reflect about feasts and festivals from the days of old. In both Old and New Testament times, the people of God have come to God at regular intervals to celebrate in a feast or to remember something significant. And what they celebrate is the mighty work of God, both in creation and redemption. Take the Old Testament, for example. There were three Jewish annual festivals. The first of them was the Feast of Unleavened Bread, which took place at the beginning of the grain harvest. The second was the Feast of Weeks, or of Pentecost, that took place at the end of the grain harvest. And the third was the Feast of Tabernacles, which came at the end of the fruit harvest. So three times a year, the people of God came together to thank him for his creation and preservation and all the blessings they had received. But all three feasts gradually developed redemptive significance as well. Indeed, the Passover and the Feast of Unleavened Bread also commemorated the redemption of the people of God from their Egyptian captivity. While the second festival, the Feast of Weeks or Pentecost, celebrated the giving of the law at Mount Sinai. And the third one, the Feast of Tabernacles, was a celebration of the 40 years wandering in the wilderness. So it was that both creation and redemption were celebrated together in the three great Jewish festivals in the Old Testament. But what about us New Testament people? Well, in this New Testament era, there are many churches that find it helpful to follow the church's calendar, at least for the first 3 months between Christmas and Pentecost, as they follow the great events of the saving career of Jesus. His birth, his ministry, his death, resurrection and ascension, and the gift of the Holy Spirit. And then they end with the second coming of Jesus Christ with the Christian hope. In that way, the church year recapitulates the whole purpose of God from Genesis to Revelation, or from creation to consummation. But our major Christian festival is Holy Communion, or the Lord's Supper. We come to it or should do so regularly because it seems quite probable that the early Christians actually came together for the Lord's Supper every day. In Acts 27, and upon the first day of the week, when the disciples came together to break bread, Paul preached unto them. So it seems to have been the custom every Lord's Day to celebrate the Lord's Supper. It was a weekly thanksgiving for their redemption. It was a weekly thanksgiving for redemption through the sin-bearing death of our Savior Jesus Christ. That's the reason why it is often called the Eucharist. And the Eucharist simply means thanksgiving. But the Lord's Supper goes further because it means a powerful thanksgiving for the redemption that we have received through our Lord Jesus Christ. So what we celebrate at communion is this redemptive thanksgiving as instituted by our Lord Jesus Christ. As Paul writes in 1 Corinthians 1, 11:23, "For I received from the Lord what I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus Christ, on the night on which he was betrayed, took bread. When he had given thanks, he broke it and said, 'This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me.' In the same way also he took the cup of the supper, saying, 'This cup is my blood of the new covenant. Do this as often as you drink it in memory of me.' For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes." You see, friends, it was for our redemption that he went to the cross and for which we are thankful. Now, what is absolutely plain about those words of institution of Jesus is that in the Lord's Supper, we are focusing upon his death. It is death that speaks to us from both the elements. Because the bread was broken before it could be eaten, and the wine was poured out before it could be drunk. And Jesus said, "The bread is my body that is given for you." And he said of the wine, "This is my blood that is shed for you." So what we commemorate in the Lord's Supper is not the body of the Lord Jesus as it lived in Palestine, or the body of Jesus as it lives glorified in heaven, but the body of Jesus as it was given or broken on the cross. And again, it isn't the blood of Jesus as it flowed in his veins when he was alive, but the blood of Jesus as it was shed in a violent sacrificial death. However, the Eucharist may also be an appropriate occasion for giving thanks for other things too. We thank God for our creation, for our preservation, and for the blessings of this life. But the measure of thanksgiving at the Lord's Supper is for him who died for us in order that we might be redeemed from sin. What has that got to do with us on Remembrance Sunday? Somebody may be asking. What is the use of all that theology about the Lord's Supper on this day of remembrance? Well, you see, friends, thank God, both the Lord's Supper and what we commemorate this day have something to do with sacrifice. The Greek word anamnesin, that is translated remembrance or commemoration, means making effective in the present of an event of the past. While both the Lord's Supper and Remembrance Sunday all reflect events of the past, the one remembering that Christ died for our sins and for the redemption of the world, and the other remembering all those who fought on the battlefields and contributed hugely to guarantee the peace we now enjoy, the Lord's Supper goes further than mere calling to mind of an event, but making effective in the present that past event. Whenever we preach the cross, Paul says, we have dramatized before your eyes Christ as he was crucified. That in itself is taking the past of the cross and bringing it to the present, because it has significance and power and effectiveness in the presence. So whenever we celebrate the Lord's Supper or preach the Word of God, we are placarding the death of Christ. While we remember Christ and his death and how his death brought salvation to us, there are other aspects of our lives that call for remembrance too. And one important event is what we commemorate today. And what futures prominently is the sacrifice. Today, we recall the millions of servicemen and women and those who were not in uniform who gave their lives in both world wars so that we might enjoy peace. But we also remember that since then, there have been other conflicts, such as in the Korean War, the Falkland War, the two Gulf Wars, in which soldiers of this country also fought. The ability to remember is a wonderful gift that God has given to mankind. Some of our memories are happy, and we can recall wonderful experiences, but some are sad, and we may weep as we remember them. Even though the Second and First World Wars ended many years ago, it is important that we remember that many still bear the scars of war today. And it is good for us to remember those who have fought for their country elsewhere and are still fighting, and we need to support them and to pray for them. Today, friends, is a day we say thank you to all those who made the sacrifice that we can stand here today in peace and freedom. But a time of remembrance and thanksgiving should also be a time of self-reflection, a time to be dedicated all the more to the work of peace and justice in the world, a time to be sorry for human sin and evil that persists and has left many destitute people in many war-torn and ravaged countries of the world. A time to think of the ways we too can make sacrifices in order to strengthen others and to renew and give hope to people on the margins of society. But this is also the time for us to commend the work of the British Legion, who still work tirelessly to alleviate suffering among ex-servicemen and women. Finally, friends, as we remember and pray for all those who worked hard for our peace and security, let us think of the ultimate sacrifice that Jesus made for all on the cross of Calvary. As the Apostle John puts it, greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Jesus Christ reconciled man to God by dying on the cross. This reconciliation is a gift that we can receive simply by asking Christ to come into our lives. That is why the Apostle Paul said, "But as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, even to those who believe in his name." So let us remember Christ's death on the cross for our salvation and continue to surrender our all to him. And let us remember this day all those who fought for our sake and are still fighting to make the world a peaceful place for all of us to live. Hallelujah. Let us pray. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you especially for this day of remembrance. And as we think of the sacrifices that others have made for our sake, help us too to be willing to sacrifice for others. Forgive us for times when we have been selfish with our own lives and with the resources that you have given us. And enable us, O Father, to change for the better. For in Christ's name we pray. Amen.